So, welcome to the show, and it is Monday, and this is going out live on Mintwave radio station, so you can just ask Alexa, or you can go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/Mintwave-radio to listen in live, and you can see our schedule of all the other shows. Now, it's also going out as a podcast too, so find us on KarenRobertsCoaching.com/podcast-network. For this particular podcast and to see other podcasts in the network. Now you can download the app for Apple and or Android, and please subscribe and follow or leave a comment. Now today's episode is 109, and today we have Janet Sandberg, who is an intuitive coach, divine channel, energy master, medium and author. And we're going to be talking about how to trust, align and connect with your soul so that you can stop feeling broken. Now, I'm Karen Roberts. I'm your host. Now, we provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists and healers to get their message heard to the people who need it. We own Mintwave Radio Station and Raising Vibrations Podcast Network. And we also have a directory. So come and find the right coach or therapist or healer that is the right fit for you. So Janet is the former gothic punk girl with a dragon tattoo, who is now a Doc Martin wearing spiritual badass. Love that. She's a channeler, energy master, author and medium. She loves helping women who are feeling lost, lonely, disconnected and broken. And she helps them learn to trust and align, connect and heal so that they can fall in love with their souls and their lives. So welcome to the show, Janet. It's lovely to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So if you could share with the audience a little bit about, where do we start with all of that? If you could start with by sharing your story.
It's a long story.
We've only got an hour.
Well, we'll start with the spirituality side. So that has been around ever since I was a little girl. I didn't know what it was until I was in my 30s, mostly just because of the era I was born in and there was no internet. And it was really hard to find information on energy healing and mediumship and all of these things. I eventually discovered Reiki when I was in my 30s. I was actually at a massage school. And once that world opened up and I was, all the other pieces made sense. I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I've experienced the world so differently my whole life. Like I've never felt like I really fit in. And then the mediumship piece came back and made sense. And I was like, oh, that's what that was when I was little. Now I understand what that was, and I still had to sort of learn how to work it and how to really sort of take advantage of that aspect. But like anything, it's a practice, and the more you do, the better you get. Now I'm just open to everything, and it's amazing. So I like to say I can channel on three levels. So spirit, source, the universe, whatever you want to call that, your soul, and people who have passed over. They're all on different frequencies for me. So it's like three different radio stations.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So what happened? What was the first time where you thought, okay, yeah, I am. I mean, how does it work, right? This is not me. I'm not tuned in. Or would you might say we've been conditioned throughout schooling not to listen or not to take notice and sort of dismiss it. So for you, at what age were you when you thought, you say that you always felt a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But what was the first, I suppose, encounter or... And can you describe it for us?
So as young as like 3 or 4.
Wow.
I know, like if I was in a very quiet, sort of zen-like place. Usually it happened when I was coloring. I used to love to color in coloring books. So, you know, you'd be sitting there, coloring is very meditative, you're very focused. And I, you know, if nobody else was around, then I would, it would feel like somebody puts their hands on the side of my head and forces it, my head to turn and look in a certain direction. And I'd be like,
ooh,
like I couldn't resist that feeling of like, I have to look over there. And then I would look over there and of course there's nothing there. And I'd go back to coloring and it would happen again and again until they gave up. And because I just wasn't getting the message, because I didn't know what to do as a little girl when I looked over there. And then once I started to understand energy a little bit more and those feelings, I shut those feelings off, you know, for a long, long time. And once they came back, I was like, I know I'm supposed to look over there. What if I start asking questions? What if I try to feel something when I look over there? You know, like I just started experimenting with different things. I was like, this must mean something.
So. And it's interesting you saying that you first noticed it when you were coloring. So like you said, you're focused on coloring, which means you're not really thinking. So I suppose you're in a slightly meditative state. Not, you know, you've not got all these chitter-chatter in your head. You're focused on coloring and that's when it comes in. Do you think, I mean, what are your thoughts on, do you think everybody has the ability to channel? We just don't know how to do it. And then do you think that because we're surrounded by so many distractions and, you know, even before the internet, you got TV and there's just too many things to keep us distracted and to keep us thinking, all ego, mind stuff, and that we've sort of come away from having these quiet times, focused times on something when we could actually listen to these intuitive callings. Do you think that's part of the problem?
I do. Yeah. And I know early on, especially with the mediumship, because I wasn't really in control of that with energy healing and other things, that was me putting myself in the space and being like, I'm ready to do this now. The mediumship would sort of come to me.
You didn't have a choice.
I didn't really have a choice. But because, yeah, it always came in those moments of quiet, even as an adult, like at the beginning before I knew what I was doing. And I think without purposely putting ourselves in those moments, and that's why things like journaling are so good, because we shut everything off and it's just us and spirit, you know, or whatever, our soul. It's just those quiet times where we shut off all the distractions. And meditation, same thing, you know, it's journaling is a different way of meditating, but
yeah. Do you think this is why there seems to be a real explosion of people out there that have sort of found their purpose and really sort of do this work again? Do you think that's the sort of, I don't know, in recent years, there seems to be a reintroduction of mindfulness, meditation, different retreats. So do you think people who are interested are increasing or working on their skill sets with this because of that reintroduction and they're not being so distracted?
Well, it's sort of a chicken and egg thing too, right? Like
yeah.
There's so many more distractions in the world. We need to seek out those things so much more than we used to. But also then the more there are, the more we notice them and the more we want to do them.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, I think it's a good thing that more and more people are getting into meditation, are being more practicing mindfulness. And like you said, it's the practicing. Like anything, I suppose it's a skill set, isn't it? I mean, you've just said that some of the things you didn't have a choice with, they just come in. And then other things, just like anything, I suppose it's like an intuitive muscle that you've got to train. And so that's how you've got to where you are now. So you mentioned three sort of different frequencies. So can we sort of go through that a little bit? You mentioned soul, you mentioned, yeah, connecting to universe, whatever. But can you, to the listeners, sort of explain the difference between the three different frequencies?
Sure. So the universe, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it, I usually refer to it as spirit or the universe. That's the highest frequency. And, you know, if you've heard anything about the law of attraction or manifesting or anything, we know that our own vibration has to be high so that we can be in alignment with the universe. So it's the same thing when I'm receiving messages. It's more of a sensory thing. Like I can tell that the message coming in is at a higher frequency. So I know, and I open myself up to a higher frequency to receive messages from spirit. Soul is kind of it's not necessarily a more medium frequency, but you know, for these purposes, we'll call it that.
To explain it so that we can understand.
Right. But also because I do energy healing, that's the one I'm most practiced at because that's what I tune into when I'm working with your energy. If I'm doing Reiki or something like that, then I'm tuned into your personal energy. And then, so if I'm channeling that, a message from your soul, then it's on that personal frequency. And then,
so how would you describe a soul then? So that's your inner, but is that not connected to spirit? So it's just your inner personal energy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which, yes, hopefully is connected to the universe and to
source. You have to hope so. And the third one?
The third one is the mediumship, the people who have passed on. And that's a much lower frequency. Just because of, you know, their situation.
Right. Ah, interesting. Now, I wasn't expecting that, actually. So with what you do, can you share with the audience a little bit about, you know, I read out your sort of bio, and yet you're helping people who are feeling a little bit broken and you're helping them to align. But yeah, explain a little bit more about, you know, how you help them and what sort of transformations are you getting?
Sure. So, I'll start with my story and why I do what I do. So for the past 15 years, I kind of went through a lot of stuff, back-to-back traumas. I was in an emotionally abusive marriage. We separated to different countries. My kids were, I don't know, like 11 and 13 at the time. And then I was a single mom. I didn't have any, you know, family or support while I was raising them. Not local anyways. Went through a really terrible international divorce that is actually, parts of it are still ongoing. In the meantime, my sister got cancer twice, and then she passed away when she was 44. I was 41. My dad had cancer twice, two different kinds. He had prostate cancer and colon cancer at the same time that my sister had cancer. And then he's fine now. He's doing really well.
Good.
But then right after my sister passed, then my mother developed dementia. And then we had to live through and care for her for 5 years before she passed. All this time, I'm trying to start a business. I'm trying to heal from everything. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. My then partner, now husband, lived across the border. So I'm in Canada. I'm in Ontario. I'm an hour from the US border. He's an hour on the other side of the US border. So there's only 2 hours driving between us, but the border was closed because of the pandemic. So we couldn't see each other.
Oh.
So for 8 months, we didn't see each other at all. And then slowly they were allowing visits. We eventually decided to get married to make the border crossing thing easier because they were allowing different rules for families than for other people. So we got married in the height of lockdown. We almost didn't get a marriage certificate because marriage license because they were like, it's lockdown. Nobody's getting married. And we're like, we're getting married in a park and it's just, you know, us and the officiants and my kids and that's it.
Wow. And
like, oh, okay. So we begged them. So anyway, so we went through all of that and, you know, yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah, that's a bit of a journey. Yeah. You've certainly been through it. And I suppose this is it. We've, you know, it's, when you've got young kids, you know, you're getting over dealing with baby and toddlers and nobody really prepares you for what could happen later on when you are caring for elderly parents. And there's so much in life that we're not really prepared for.
Yeah.
And then for you, it's all happened together. Your mm-hmm. sister, your dad, I mean, that it is a lot to get. Each one needs a healing process. Each one needs time to grieve. And so you sort of, sounds like you sort of had it all in one hit.
I did. A very long hit.
a very long hit.
And I came out of that and I'm just, or at some point during all of that, I was like, I where am I? You know, I don't know who I am anymore. And that was a big part of it. So healing from the emotional abuse was a big part of my healing journey. But then also just trying to figure out who I was after, you know, your kids get older and they don't need you quite as much anymore. Like, who am I? When you lose a sibling, you have to reorganize the family structure in your head. You know, I'm an only child now. And then you lose a parent and all of these things, you have to sort of reassess who you are. And it is so easy to get lost and get disconnected from your soul, from who you really are. And I went through it so many times. I'm pretty good at finding it again now.
You're an expert.
I'm a bit of an expert. And so I wanted to use my gifts to help other people who, whether they've been through trauma or terrible life experiences, or they're just super busy with life and they kind of forget who they are, you know, help them find themselves again, because that is really where life gets good, is when,
right,
you know who you are on a soul level, when your soul is connected to the universe as it should be. And you can, you know, go through life and with ease and flow and love and abundance and feel better.
Because it's not meant to be the struggle that many people sort of find themselves in. So how do people learn how to trust, align, connect with their soul? And what happens when they do?
So I work on sort of a body, mind, soul, everything principle, I guess. So because my background is in energy healing, I work a lot of that. And I think it's really, really important before we even start or at the same time as bringing in mindset hacks and new thoughts and beliefs and practices. If there's nowhere for those to go, then what are we even doing? So the energy healing part clears out all of that emotional baggage and the gunk that we carry around with us from all of those past experiences. So we create some space with that so that when we introduce all of these new ways of being, they can integrate much more quickly. And then at the same time, I'm also channeling messages for you to help you make that connection. So that I'm sort of acting as a translator between you and your soul and you and the universe. So I will pass on messages that your soul is telling you, what your soul wants, what your soul craves and desires. And then you do those things, or you, you know, follow the instructions, and then you recognize that feeling. Like when you are doing what your soul is telling you to do, you just feel good. It's a different kind of joy than when you're doing something that you humanly enjoy. And then over time, you begin to recognize that. You begin to understand for yourself what your soul wants and how to get that feeling, those connections. And you build that up yourself. So eventually my clients don't need me anymore.
I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a good thing. You've done your work. They've got the transformation, and now they know. Because again, it does feel like, because we just have been so conditioned to do things in a certain way, and it is all about, you know, it's almost like we've been conditioned not to trust our gut, not to trust, not to even, you know, in school be told off for daydreaming. I might be in a meditative state. It's a good place to be, but everything was sort of being knocked out of us as we've got older. And so it sounds like we've got to relearn that stuff that we probably intuitively did as children.
Absolutely.
And we've been told off.
Yeah. Even just the listen to your mother, you know, like, Don't do what you feel is good. You know, listen to your mother, listen to your parents, do what makes them happy. And so we just stop, especially as kids, we don't want to get in trouble. So you stop listening to yourself. And then it's listen to the teachers and, you know, listen to your boss and listen to your friends and your family. And there's so much noise coming at us all the time from these people who are supposed to love us and care about us and want the best for us. And we stop listening to ourselves.
And how long does it, I mean, you know, for some people that, you know, it's because it's not finite, right? It's not tangible, it's feeling. And so some people, I don't think they really know whether should I trust that feeling or not. What is the difference? How do people sort of navigate this journey?
It's a lot of trial and error at the beginning, which is where my translating comes in. If you're trying to do it by yourself, it's a much longer, more challenging process of just learning to trust. And it's just through doing like little tests and little experiments until you start to recognize the messages and the voices in your head, which ones to listen to, you know, which ones are ego, right?
Yes. That seems to be the hardest thing. And it's because what I have found is I realized I was getting the whole thing wrong for about 20 years. Yeah. I've come to that conclusion. I'm not going to blame that, but I'm going to blame my personal interpretation of what I was listening to or reading on, because, you know, the self-development arena is all about thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thoughts become things, you know, how you think affects how you feel, but it seems backwards. You know, the thoughts are mine. How do you know if they're the right thing? Like you say, they could be just the ego. It's just your subconscious saying, no, don't go there because you've not been there before. Versus, it's that feeling place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the trusting.
The tricky part is that ego, you know, wants to keep us safe. So that voice always sounds like it's a good idea. Because why would our soul tell us to do something that's scary or out of the ordinary or something that sounds like we don't want to do that, when really that's the direction we need to go in, because we need to get out of this stuck space that we're in, but that's a little bit scary. So we listen to the safe voice. So it's taking those baby steps and being like, but what if I just step a little bit outside of my comfort zone, what happens? And then your soul does a little happy dance and you're like, oh, yay. Okay. But we still have to always sort of overcome that that ego voice that's trying to keep us safe and small and stuck.
Yeah, that seems to be the point, is that which one to listen to. So is your advice doing baby step rather than, you know, some people want to go for that big goal from where they are, and of course their ego is going, no chance, mate. Who
Everybody's
do you think
a little
you
different.
Are?
Everybody's a little different. For me, mostly it's baby steps that works for me, but some people are jumpers, you know.
It makes sense to soften that negative voice, negative chitter chatter first. And then as you go and as you become a little bit more intuitive and trusting it, then you can go for the big jumps. So what is your whole thing now? So, you know, hopefully we're fully out of lockdown and all of that drama. You're married, so it doesn't matter if it happens again. Hopefully it will never happen again in our lifetime. So what is it that you're specifically doing? You're specifically helping women, but who in particular? Do you have any particular person that you really love working with?
Yeah, basically women like me. So you're in sort of middle age, you know, 35 to 55, because that's sort of that sandwich generation, right? Where we've got the kids at home, but we've got parents who are getting older and we're being torn in all these directions. The kids are getting older. They're in all sorts of activities. And, you know, we just lose ourselves so much just because of life and what is going on. And then if you add in something like a divorce or a loss, or something on top of that, then it's just, that's usually the trigger where we kind of look around, and because we're pulled out of our usual busyness and our usual ways of doing things and living our lives. And then we're like, wow, like what happened to me? Who am I? I need to find myself again. I need to connect with my soul again. And some people never realized they were connected to their soul in the first place. And this is a whole brand new thing, you know, where they're just like, something is missing. You know, I feel lost. I feel like I don't fit into the world anymore. I feel kind of broken. And
which no
I don't
one ever is,
like where
no
I am.
One. Yeah. No one's ever broken. It's amazing what the things that we go through. And like you say, it's difficult to sort of navigate it by yourself, because so many feel like it's only them. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones that are going through it. And I suppose because of social media, you look around, everybody's life looks perfect. And so then they might be thinking, well, why is it me? It's only me. But they're not. So many people go through this. It's all part of the journey, isn't it?
It is. It is part of. And you know, I don't think these things happen to us, you know, to test us or anything. It's just part of being human. You know, we just have human experiences, but it's how we come out of them. But even like you said, people don't tell us the challenging parts of parenthood, and people don't tell us the challenging parts of life. Like, you know, when you're a kid, your parents might go to a funeral or something, but certainly in our generation, or my generation, so I'm 50, so my parents are in their 80s. So, you know, they didn't share feelings or emotions or talk about what was going on in their lives or with their friends. So we had no idea that these sorts of things. And then you come across, you get to that age that you remember your parents being at when all of those things were happening. And you're like, why am I being blindsided by all of this?
Yeah. Well, no one wants to talk about it, do they? Right. But I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, it's all part of life's journey. It, like, no, you know, no one's getting out of this alive. No one, not one person on the planet is getting away with it. So it is all part of the journey. And I suppose with your mediumship, that must really, you know, because I know what it's like. I lost my father, well, coming up 2 years now. And yeah, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I wasn't set up for it. And I would think that that's going to be a lot big comfort to help people transition through that process. And again, even that, you know, it's funny. I would sort of think to myself, look, you know, he was 85. That's actually, I'm privileged to be dealing with this now because, you know, it could have happened a long time ago. So I should be almost, you know, it's such a mixed load of emotions because we know it's going to happen at some mm-hmm. time. It's still horrendous to go through it. But like I say, none of us are getting out of this alive. And if they have gone through and had a wonderful life and got to that age, that's a good thing. You know, we can all only hope to get there, you know? So it's a real mixed bag of emotions going through it. So what you're doing with channeling, yeah, people who have passed over, I bet that's a huge relief and just calming for people who are struggling with a loss.
It's interesting. So the first time I channeled, did a mediumship reading for somebody who wanted to connect with a specific person, it was for a friend of mine, and her dad had passed and she wanted to just check in and make sure he was okay. So I'm like, I don't even know if I can do that. I've never done that before. And I'm like, if you're okay with just kind of experimenting, then let's give it a go. So we did. And it was such a beautiful experience. It was so healing for her. And, you know, he was happy to have somebody to connect him to her as well, but she was able to ask questions that she still had that lingered. And she was able to just understand that he was in a good place and he wasn't suffering anymore. And, you know, all of those things.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, this is a great, beautiful gift that I have. I want to do more of this. But then I started encountering that the majority of the people were not like my friend. They were not looking for sort of closure to be able to move on. They were clinging to the past.
Oh.
So they were using these mediumship readings as a way to not let go. They were in such a desperate place that they needed to have these, you know, some of these people were doing like daily or weekly readings with their loved one who had passed because they just couldn't let go. And I'm like, I am a healer first and foremost. Mm. I'm a coach. This goes against everything that I do. You know, I'm here to help people align, to help people let go, to get rid of all of that baggage so that they can move on and be happy and enjoy their lives. And I was keep helping them stay stuck.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And I couldn't do that anymore. So I am very careful now with who I do readings for and how I do them. So a lot of times, so in my Facebook group, we do regular readings, but I will just like whoever comes through is how it happens. So as opposed to me seeking out a specific person to talk to, that is where things get tricky and dangerous.
Right. Like, I can see that. Yeah. But do you have a choice? So you don't have a choice. Yeah. You do have a choice who comes through.
Yeah. Well, you know, I set the intention. I'm like, I am here to help people. If you have a loving message you would like to pass on to somebody who's here in the group, then by all means, let me know. As opposed to I'm looking for John Smith, you know, because your daughter is here and she wants to feel better about herself.
And can you get anybody or will it only be, it's only going to be certain spirits that are going to come through? How does it all work? It's all sort of alien to me.
I don't know. I've had all kinds of weird things happen, as you can imagine. And you know, one time I was trying to find somebody's mother to channel for her, and she's like, I've asked several different mediums and nobody can ever connect to her. And I thought I had, but then she was like saying all these things that didn't make sense. And we're like, no, this is somebody else just like pretending to be this lady I was looking for.
Comedy ones.
Yeah.
So comedians.
Like, this is not what I signed up for. And then sometimes, you know, if I just sort of open the floor, there's just general, sometimes it's angels, sometimes it's spirit guides. You know, sometimes there's just other random people that come through and have a message. It's not necessarily anybody that is known personally.
Right. So, wow. Yeah. Living in different realms you are by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
But with your program, your specific program that you help people with, what is the process with that? If somebody's feeling a little bit lost and you know, I mean, I'm going to be 51 soon, and I am possibly about to be an empty nester. I've only got one daughter with me now. I've already got an older daughter that's living in central London. And the other one's talking about moving in with her boyfriend. Here we go. So thankfully, I do have something to focus on. But I get it that, you know, many women, especially maybe if they've also on their own. I mean, I'm a single mum. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have what I was doing, I can imagine it could be quite a scary time once the, you know, the last child flies the nest.
Yeah, that's another one of those regular life things that nobody talks about.
No.
The whole empty nest process that I went through a couple of years ago, it was terrible.
Yeah. So I thought I'd be fine with it. And then, No, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Like, selfish. Exactly. Yeah. I'm, you know, and I'm very aware of that. I know it's me and my selfishness. Oh, I want you here.
Yeah.
But it's that journey. Big
life transition that we go through where we're like, and it's hard for us, you know, like we're not needed anymore. We've done our job so well that they don't need us anymore. You know, that's the weird sort of.
Again, it's a mix, isn't it? All these things are really sort of, you know, that's what we're there to do at the end of the day. We're there to prepare them for life and off your trot sort of thing. Yeah. But at the same time, we're going to have these other feelings of, oh, no, I'm not ready to let go. So for those women out there who might be going through that process and want to, you know, need help navigating, because again, you know, I don't know why, especially as women, we feel that we've got to do everything on our own. Otherwise, it means we failed. No.
No.
Absolute rubbish. Always easier to get help, get it dealt with faster. Mm-hmm. So first of all, how would they get in touch with you? So anybody who's just listening and can't see all your links that are down below, how would they get in touch?
My website, which is just janetsandberg.com, SANDBERG is how you spell Sandberg. I am on Instagram at janetsandberg.intuitive. I'm on Facebook, either my personal profile, which is just my name, or my page, which is also Janet Sandberg Intuitive. Or my email, which is janet@janetsandberg.com. So
nice and simple. It's the name. Remember the name. Right. Remember
my
the
last
name.
My last business was called Blue Dragonfly Energy Wellness Center.
Ooh.
And
a mouthful.
It was such a mouthful. And I spelled center with the R E at the end the proper way. And that messed so many people up. So this time I'm like, I'm just using my name.
Keep it simple. I've got a terrible habit of overcomplicating things. I have to then backtrack and simplify, 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 because I know I'm doing it. I know I do it. So Yeah. How do they work with you? So what's your process with it?
So we work together. And like I said, it's a combination of healing, channeling, and coaching. And we just go through all the steps. So that first bit, we're learning to trust ourselves. We're learning to listen to our souls. We're learning that trust. And then once we're good with ourselves and our souls, then we reach out a little bit. So that's the alignment where we learn to connect to the universe, to source, to spirit, where we can use that external source as a guiding light, I guess, to help us know which direction to move in that's going to be the best for us. And then we learn, yeah, how to connect those things, how to connect our soul to the universe to be guided to move forward with ease and flow to create that life of success and abundance and love and fulfillment and everything else that makes life great.
Which is what we're all here to do.
It's that just is that our natural state.
Yeah. So we really need to just get back to our default setting. Exactly. That's what we need. I say this quite often. I want them to create something like in the Matrix to just download. Can you just get rid of that baggage and upload a new lot? And yeah, like you say, that is our birthright. It's just that we, through experiences and the not knowing, we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we self-sabotage, not because, you know, we're bad people or it's just because we're unaware of, you know, the way things are. And I suppose so it is. It's about understanding how, you know, the universal laws work and why use them to your advantage, right? Work with them, not against them. Yeah. But yeah, it takes time, doesn't it? Nothing's going to happen overnight. Or have you had any sort of spontaneous transformations?
Sadly, no.
I don't think there's going to be. I'm going to keep asking and see if anybody's had any. Because it is, it's all going to be a journey, isn't it? Like, you know, I come from the fitness world, so, you know.
Yeah, none of that happens overnight. Weight.
Does it? It does not, does it? Yeah. Which is a little bit of a pain, but.
Well, it takes us so long in life to get to this point where we're looking for help, where we're realizing, you know, it's going to also take time to get back to a point of health and balance and feeling good.
Absolutely. And we've got so much like we say, you know, there's programming that's gone on for, depending on how old you are, it's been going on a few decades now.
Yes.
So to sort of unlearn that is going to take time. And we will always default back to our habitual modes of being, which may not necessarily be healthy just because they're habitual. Because that seems to be the trouble is when we are, you know, I suppose we do go about our days most of the time unconsciously. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like what you're teaching is to actually bring them conscious and aware and listening out so that they hear it. Because again, like I say, we've got distraction. Oh my goodness. Your notifications from this ping, ping, ping. There's just too much. And even more so in this day and age with all the different social media platforms, it's just too much to deal with, and they're all distracting us from connecting us with our soul, universe, whatever it is that we really need, because that's who knows, doesn't it? Knows better than the internet. It's more, your soul is more powerful than the internet.
More powerful than TikTok.
I mean, no, go figure. Really? I mean, yeah, that seems to be the thing. I mean, it seems to be a two-way thing. Some people are going more that way and some people are, well, hang on, we need to go this way. And it just feels like it doesn't have to be that uphill struggle when you're connected to when you're trying to do it by yourself under stress, which means mm-hmm. it's never going to work.
Right.
So you've been doing this now for a while. Well, all your life, really, since you were three. Yeah. And naturally, you've been learning the skill sets. So where do you see you going in the future? What's your goals?
My goal is very humble. I want to change the world. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to reach the whole world. But every person that I can help has a ripple effect on the people in their lives and the people that they surround. So for everybody that starts living a soul-led life, people see the difference. They feel the difference. They're like, what have you been doing? What happened to you? Like, why are you happy? Why is life suddenly going your way? Suddenly for other people. Right? They see that you're doing life in a way that they want to. Sometimes that makes other people mad because they get jealous and they're like, what are you doing? You know, you're not the same as you used to be. And then that's a whole thing. But there is a ripple effect, which is always positive. Either you're getting rid of the people who are not serving you and you're influencing those around you in a positive way. So, you know, if you've got kids, you get to start teaching your kids these things, even if they're older. You know, by the time I kind of came out of all of my stuff and my fog, my kids were like in their late teens, but it's not too late. So much of what I've learned really helped them because, you know, bigger kids, bigger problems, right? They're dealing with more life issues. And if you can pass that on to your kids because of the wisdom and the trust and the alignment that you have, you trust in your parenting that much more. You trust in your relationships with your family and with your friends. And it ripples out. So whether I'm directly affecting people, and hopefully I would like to work with lots of people because that's what I love to do, but then have them go out in the world and have a positive effect on the people in their lives.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's going to have a knock-on effect to anybody that's around them, isn't it? So it's all a positive because there's way too much. We've got enough negativity going on, right? There's enough going on. But the key is that just as much as the negative, there's still, you know, it's the yin and yang, but it's just that we don't hear about it so much because, you know, I mean, not that I watch the news because I don't even have a TV. I got rid of that in lockdown. I've been 2 years without one. It was the best thing I ever did. No terrestrial telly, which means no adverts, no news. I can't hear it even if I wanted to. And what I have found is that even though I would have said I don't watch the news anyway, you're going to catch it at some point if a program's changed, you know, you're going to, and it's all going in, isn't it? It's all subconscious, it's all going in. And the difference I feel for the last 2 years, massive. Because I just, you know, some things you can't avoid. You can go on Facebook, you find out any major thing. It took me a while to find out some of the big things that had gone on in England this last year. I was a bit late to the table, but, you know, did I really need to, you know, was it affecting my life? Do I really need to know? There's not enough of the positive out there. Mm-hmm. And we know it's going on. It's not just the negative. Right. So, yeah, as much as you can transform one person, you don't know how many others, and that's going to help around it. So that's brilliant. Love what you do. I mean, but it does take practice. Like I spend more time meditating, I suppose, because I'm not watching telly. I spend more time meditating, not majorly long. I have a 15-minute meditation I do morning and evening. And, you know, I try to sort of reconnect throughout the day because, again, you get distracted and fall into work. So it's all a process, isn't it? But one day I'd like to take it a stage further, because it's just the not knowing how to really, and yeah, and maybe I'm not 100% trusting everything that's coming in. So it's a learning process, is it, Janet? There's hope for everybody. Everybody can do this.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
As human beings, that's you know, that's probably what we're here to do, isn't it? Part of it, to remember.
Yes, I think so.
To remember. So, yeah, well, you did mention, now one thing we haven't talked about, I'm sure you mentioned author.
Author, yes.
We haven't touched on that, so please explain.
My pandemic project, when the world shut down, I was like, what now? I said, I know. And then I just had this amazing divine download and put out a journal. So because one of the things that I do with my clients is I channel messages. So I had a bunch of those that were written down, just lying around. So I said, those channeled messages can help more than just the person that they were channeled for, obviously. So it's a 30-day journal, give or take. There are 30 messages. So the messages are a prompt. And then there's an illustration that you can color, because as we know, that's how I tuned in, was through coloring. So there's a hand-drawn illustration for every prompt that a dear friend of mine drew for me. And then there's room to journal. So you read the prompt, color the picture, and then feel into what's coming up for you and write it out. And it helps you explore your soul in a different way. It just gets you thinking about different things and interpreting your soul and your feelings in different ways. So you can either go through, like, do one every day for 30 days, or you can just, whenever the feeling hits, you can just open it up like a deck of oracle cards and see whichever message is meant for me today. And do it that way. But yeah, I've had tons of great feedback. Everybody who's bought one has loved it. So
love that. Yeah. So again, it's that going through that process of calming, unthinking, focus on the coloring in. And then would you ask a question? Should you ask what do you need that day, or what do you, I don't know. How would it, does it work? Or you're just waiting?
It's work for everybody. You know, some people are like, what do I need today? And then they'll just open to a random page,
Right.
A guided page. Or they work through, like, just from beginning to end. And in that sense, it's also, this is what I needed to hear today.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Great. And so to the listeners, how would they get hold of that?
The easiest way is on Amazon. The journal is called Spirit Would Like You to Know. That's Spirit how all of like the messages start. So,
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Right. So yeah, if you're out there, you'd like to get that journal, then go to Amazon. Nice and simple. Mm-hmm. So, well, thank you so much for your time today, Janet. It's been lovely speaking to you. It's definitely woo woo. So as wasn't just a sprinkling of woo-woo there.
There was a lot of it today.
Love it. I mean, I just think it's just something, you know, I don't even like the word woo-woo, because it is what it is. But again, because of our conditioning, most people have been brought up to believe it. That's all woo-woo. So I suppose the whole idea of this whole show was really to sort of drip feed them a little bit, see if it resonates, and then just sort of move them along.
Yeah.
And these days, the more woo-woo, the better. Love it.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you so much for your time. Anybody want, you know where to get in contact. It's very simple. It's her name.com, JanetSandberg.com. And anybody that is out there, if you are a coach, a healer, a therapist, and you are ready to scale your business and you need help with designing, creating, marketing, selling your program, we also have a fully automated system that will take a lot of the heavy lifting out of it. Just quickest way is book a call. You can go to the website or book a call, KarenRobertsCoaching.com/discovery, just for a quick informal chat with either myself or one of my team. And I will be back tomorrow with a coffee with Karen. So bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.